Put down your baby and pick up a beer. Dad Jokes is back with a brand new episode. I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon, and you're listening to the podcast of two dads going through the journey of fatherhood while you all get to listen to us as we do it. And now, Brandon, for the second time, I get to say this is the podcast of two, not first-time dads anymore, actually. It's two dads of two. You got the two boys, I got the two girls, and we got four kids between us and not a lot of sleep. That's basically our life.
Not so, man, a lot of sleep at all.
Yeah, you probably know that more than me right now.
In true dad jokes fashion, you hit the nail on the head. Not a lot of sleep. And Kelsey probably will listen to this and roll her eyes because she's getting even less sleep than I am. Which, you know, you've got two people who, and one person might be getting like 4 hours and one person getting 2 hours. The person who's getting two hours is going to look at the 4 hour person like they're crazy. But exactly. That's kind of where we at right now. She's definitely a trooper, but it's been fun.
Well, it's not just fun. The amount of sleep either, Brandon. I'm sure you're experiencing it's that quality of sleep. It's hard, even if you end up getting 5-6 hours, but it's like 2 hours and then an hour, then two. You know, that's rough to go through, especially when you probably were in a decent stretch with Bryce beforehand. You know, I know that was hard for me with Avery. Is I didn't realize that how good I had it for a while. And then when you get thrown back into the fire, it hits you like some cold ice water over the head. It hits you pretty hard.
No doubt.
Well, let's start with a dad joke today, Brandon, before we get into kind of what's been going on in today's topic. Today's topic's going to be something kind of fun, and we're going to talk about getting your kids to pick up after themselves, kind of cleanup time, if you will. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's do a dad joke, Brandon. I think I want to lead off today. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm completely good with it because mine is both timely, to do with the eclipse. But it is, hey, hide your kids, hide your wife when it comes to the end of the episode because it is it's rated PG-13.
Mine is not, but I'm ready for it. You ready for it?
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Brandon, what kind of car does a Jedi drive?
A Jedi drives a... I don't know, a Wookiee, R2.
A Jedi drives a toy Yoda.
I should have got that. That's a classic
toy Yoda.
I should have got that. And part of the reason I didn't get it is because I don't watch Star Wars. at least according to Jerry, I don't.
That's
a little inside joke from when we first met each other.
Yep. Yeah, years and decades ago now at this point.
That's 12 years ago. It's crazy.
Oh,
Over 12 years.
We're getting old. But, Brandon, what's been going on? You've been living now a little bit with two kids under the house. You kind of are probably kind of getting settled into your routine, figuring things out. What's life like in the Banks household with two kids, including a one-month-old?
Yeah, it's less chaotic than I would have thought coming in. At least on paper, but the moments of chaos are enough for like weeks at a time is how I would put it. And I know I said it before with the sleep thing, but shout out to Kelsey because she gets a couple more hours a day of it than I do. It's been fun. And it's been literally fun. I know I kind of said that tongue in cheek, but as you mentioned, Cade is 1 month old now, or a couple days over. We actually had his 1 month appointment yesterday, and it's fun to kind of see differences between the two at this same stage because we keep everything, and it wasn't that long ago with Bryce. Bryce was a pretty big like baby pretty quickly after birth. But at the 1 month mark, Cade is about an inch and a half longer than Bryce and over a pound heavier. Right now he's in the 90th percentile or whatever that actually means. We'll see in 18
Power
years for height. Yeah, for sure. Bryce will be the wing.
Exactly.
And in the 50th to 75th percentile in weight. Got a clean bill of health from the doctors. He has had the sniffles since dad got sick a couple weeks ago. So he still had some congestion that rears his ugly head at times at night. He seems to be getting over that a little bit, But that also coincides with, I got the notification today that he is on his first leap. So I saw this coming up on the calendar last week. I actually think that he entered it a little bit early, but technically today is when it was supposed to start. It was funny. We were at the doctor yesterday, and the nurse practitioner was in, and she's like having she knows Bryce well. She's been there since before we were there, but she has like she's messing around with Kay, just trying to introduce herself, stuff like that. And she's walking around, and he actually completely follows her like around the room, and she start like freaking out because apparently that's pretty good at this stage. So that's part of the reason I think he's entered that leap already, because he seems to be in certain things on the other side of it. But I mean, he's been I hope Bryce doesn't listen to this in 20 years, but he's been a better baby, I would say, than Bryce was to this point. From that's almost like an on paper. Yeah, temperament is the best way I want to put it. It's kind of a bad way to say it, but his temperament's definitely been better than Bryce. Bryce was a little crybaby at times, which is fine. But KJ's pretty chill. He cries when he needs something, but that's pretty much it. If he's hungry, he's crying, and he definitely eats a lot. Luckily for us, for what Kelsey wants, he has been like exclusively breastfeeding or bottle feeding from breast milk, which is not the case with Bryce. So that could have had something to do with some differences in how they acted potentially. We don't know. But I do think that's led a little bit. KJ has been way gassier than Bryce was at that point too. So Kelsey's kind of tried to maneuver a little bit around what she's been eating to see if that has any effect on it. And for those who don't know, she's a vegetarian, doesn't really eat a bunch of spicy food at all anyway. So we're trying to figure that part out. And it might not be that. It might just be a little gassy kid. But that is funny. When I forgot how funny baby farts are, and that stuff can what comes out of those little bodies, especially when they're feeding, is like it'll wake you up from dead sleep as well. So KJ's overall been really good. I don't really have anything to report that isn't positive. And Bryce with KJ has been he's been exactly what to your credit you said it would be. And for me, even better than expected too. I mean, he always wants to help. He wants to see what's going on. He's a little rough at times, but that's kind of to be expected. He doesn't know his own strength. He's used to being able to move around however he wants, whenever he wants. That includes if he's on the bed, he can flip around and kind of like spin fast, things like that. That's a little different when you're holding a baby. So stuff like that, especially if anyone's expecting like a second child and you have a kind of a rambunctious toddler, it may make sense to do some, you don't want to like kind of quell the excitement completely, but areas like a bed or something like that where you might not prefer them to be like going full speed rolling and stuff like that, where their legs are kicking all around, that's something we probably could have nipped in the bud a little bit sooner. Because I never realized how much he uses his feet, and his feet are randomly in the air somewhere until you hold a kid. But he always wants to help. If KJ's crying, he comes over, hugs him, tells him it's okay, tries to like offer him like his pacifier and stuff like that. But that's the good side, that he definitely gets jealous when Kelsey's feeding the baby. He wants to kind of be around or get some attention. But even beyond that, he completely knows that when she's feeding the baby, she can't really move and isn't going to move. And he's testing that to the limit. So he'll go and get in the stuff he knows he's not supposed to. And not only will he do it, he'll do it, turn around, look at her, and like slowly do it to see what she's going to do. He's testing our no spanking thought process right now for sure. Because he is super sweet for 95% of the time, but when he decides he wants to get on your nerves, he's going to 10. And then my last two things, He was accepted into both preschools that we applied to. We actually have a tour of a local Montessori tomorrow. And from that, we're going to decide which way we want to go. So we're super excited about that. And then for all the parents at home, a little fun thing. If you have Siri or like, Hey Google or Hey Alexa, I hope somebody's thing just went off when I said that.
That'd be great.
Your kids are definitely paying attention while you were saying it. Cause Bryce loves "You're Welcome" from Moana. And I'm not exaggerating. I've heard "Hey Google, play X" like no less than 50 times. And that's in like the last 3 or 4 days. So that kid loves playing that song. He knows how to do it. We turn the mics off on all of our Google devices. What y'all been up to?
Well, Peyton just yells Google. She doesn't say "Hey Google." She says "Google." And then she'll do it like at appropriate times, but she'll also do it like when we're nowhere near a Google device. And it's great. And she'll also just yell "no" if she doesn't want
Bryce
something.
Bryce does the exact same thing.
It's great.
But like, it'll be places where you find out that there is Google around.
Yeah. And you don't even realize. Exactly. No, that happens too. Yeah. Well, it'll be funny. I'll be in the car and I'll turn on and like, let's say country comes on the radio or something. Peyton might just go, "No, no, Google, no." And I'm like, all right, let's chill out. Like, we just turned the car on. So that's fun. But no, we've been up to a decent amount. It's funny, Brandon. I know, talking about Avery specifically, for a long time, you know, she was kind of colicky and she had lots of issues, but probably for the last month or so or 2 months, she like still had issues at night and would get cranky and wake up. But during the day was just like the happiest baby. And she was just great. Like, honestly, she was fantastic. She was happy. She was laughing. She was fun to be around. And you couldn't ask for much better of a baby during the day. And then about a couple weeks ago, she got, right after we recorded our podcast last, she got sick. And I'm not really sure what she had. She'd had a fever. We're not sure. She's teething too. She has a top tooth coming through. We're not sure if it's that. She had an ear thing or if it's something else. But she was miserable. And basically it turned her into the whiniest little kid of all time. And like, she had to be held. She didn't want to be put down. Even when she was being held, she was upset. And so all the good energy she had kind of went to bad energy, but she was sick. And then now she's kind of gotten over being sick, but she also, right as she was getting over being sick, entered leap number 7. As you kind of mentioned with Kate entering a leap, she entered a leap and she's still kind of being cranky during the day. Randomly.
There's always a leap coming.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's that or what's going on, but she definitely wants to be, she's in that stage where she wants to be held. She wants mom. She wants, you know, attention, and is not so independent as we want her to be at times. But she's also being super cute. She's doing everything but crawling. She can literally get anywhere she wants to go doing anything other than actual crawling. She can stand on, or she kind of,
I think you can call what
fours.
She's doing crawling to a degree.
She, I mean, it is. It's army crawling or rolling. Yeah. And she also gets on all fours and she will bounce. She will move her back knees together and scooch. She will move her arm. Like, she does literally everything you can think of possible other than crawling. So I think she's doing it to spite me at this point.
She's because
she almost like will
walking.
Mock you. Exactly. She's also pulling herself up on stuff now. And then we got the little, like the little mini chair that we have. She has one that's Family Madrigal. What's that? Encanto. She has one from that. And she's been sitting on it and even kind of like she'll stand up. And like for a second or two and then kind of fall back down. But she like will sit in the chair and then stand up. She was doing that today. It's kind of funny. So she's definitely starting to become more adventurous. And I think kind of trying to see what she can do more. She's got a lot of personality like her sister. But the getting over the sickness it was a big thing. But she's been pretty good. And like I said, she's close to doing a lot of different things. And she's got that third tooth coming through. So she's kind of goofy looking right now. Two bottom teeth and one top tooth coming through, which is cute. It's funny. Peyton is, I think I said this the last couple episodes probably, but she's at like she's still at that best and worst age. You know, when she's good, she's awesome. When she's bad, she's terrible. But she's what's kind of fun now, Brandon. I'm sure Bryce is doing the same thing, but she's really starting to put together things and like understand things other than just like things we tell her. She's picking up like stuff from like context and whatnot. And it's just cool to see. And she's asking questions. I'm like, where did you hear that from? Or, you know, she's saying things that like, just interesting. I don't know.
It's like, the smallest things, but they like catch you off guard because you have no idea where it came from.
Yeah, and you'll be like, I didn't know you knew that word or what that was. And it's super cool. But she
or
does
the context, like you said.
Yeah. Sometimes it's funny, though, too. Like, I told you the story the other day, but it was funny because one of the bad things she started doing is she started understanding, like, how to tell you to stop that or not, don't do that. She doesn't want you to do that. And yeah. So we were getting ready for bed, and she kind of was getting upset, I think probably because of the pajamas we were putting on because she hates pajamas. And she's getting kind of mad. And when she gets mad, she kind of like clenches up and gets his face. And we're all sitting on the floor. And all of a sudden she gets really mad. And then she like farts super loud, like really, really loud. And me and Macy both start laughing because it was just funny. Cause she had this mad face and she just farts super loud. And she thinks toots are funny. And so we start laughing and she just looks at both of us and she goes, no, stop it. No. And she's so mad that we're laughing at her farting. And it was just, you know,
you
just
are funny. In for it. You are in for it.
Oh, no doubt. That's why someone the other day was joking about all the boys that are in our friend group. And then we have the girls. And I said, you know, I used to be scared about that. I said, now I'm more fear for the boys with Peyton than I do for her because good luck. She is a handful and she knows how to tell you what she wants. So good luck if you're going to try to mess with her. But no, she's starting to put stuff together. She's talking in like just her mind's starting to grow. And it's really, really cool to see. So that's been really fun. A couple fun things that happened that we did. Well, Macy took the girls to a princess party and it was like a big deal. It was like, there was a bunch of princesses there and they had like, they got a wand and there was like food and there was like dancing and bubbles. I don't know. It's a bunch of stuff, but the girls behaved pretty well. My mom went and my niece went, my sister went, my aunt went with her grandkid. And Peyton had a blast. She was dressed as Belle and just absolutely had a blast. And apparently she loved Aurora, which is just ironic because I don't think we've ever watched Sleeping Beauty, but she loved Aurora. She knows who it is.
I have no idea who Aurora is.
That's Sleeping Beauty.
I don't know
if
I've ever seen Sleeping
Beauty. That's her actual
name.
It's not very good. But she loved her.
Hey, you say Sleeping Beauty, I think of Snow White for some reason.
No, Snow White.
Yeah. Probably made somebody mad somewhere.
Probably. Snow White's the original Disney movie. I did a report on Walt Disney when I was like in elementary school, so I know a lot about Walt Disney. But yeah, anyway, she loved it. She had a good time. Avery behaved pretty well. She was still kind of getting over being sick, but she did good. Peyton had a blast, lots of cute pictures, loved her dress to death, so that was fun. And then she recently, Macy just randomly this week decided it was nice outside. She took both girls to the zoo while I was at work on her day off. And which I told her, I said, you're crazy. That's a big undertaking. And apparently they were great. So it went really well. And I'm really excited, honestly, Brandon, because this will be the third year Peyton's gone to the zoo. But the first year she was a baby. She didn't know anything. Last year she was kind of at that stage where she could walk but didn't really want to walk a lot, could ride but wanted to be held. It was a lot. But this year she can walk really well. She understands what the animals are. She can tell you what she wants, what she needs, and I'm just super excited. So she loved it. She loved the lions. She loved the zebras. She loved the tigers. And, you know, you can hear her in these videos talking, and she kept saying, Daddy, I seen the animals. I seen the animals. And so she had a blast, and Avery did pretty good too. So props to Macy for doing that. And
this is also a perfect time to go because the zoo is fun, but I only associate going to the zoo with it being smoldering hot outside.
Yeah, it was good weather, although it was crowded, she said. But it was fun. And then the only other thing is we also had Easter, which was a great time. And Peyton got three and Avery got three Easter baskets each. And got to find some eggs and had a lot of fun with lots of family. We also had my grandpa's 85th birthday party. They both had fun there. So they got to be around a lot of people, had a great time. And it's been really good. And Peyton's been, I think she's back into her daddy's girl stage. So I've been loving that. She's definitely been trying to get close to dad and snuggle and have me rock her to bed and play and stuff like that. So I'm taking advantage of that while I can, for sure, because I know it goes back and forth depending on the time. And right now, Avery is definitely not in her daddy's girl stage, so I'll take Peyton being in that. I'm working on Avery still, but I think I got to do a little bit more work, and maybe when she's done breastfeeding, you know, I'll have a chance to win.
Well, I'm not quite there, but for the first time, you've said this 5,000 times on this podcast where Peyton's in her daddy's girl phase. Yeah. Or I've never had that. And I've joked about never having it. It's either Bryce, it's either Kelsey or my dad, or Kelsey's mom. But I think I'm making some headway.
There you go.
I'm not gonna call myself number one, but you mentioned
using
Easter.
Cade instead of pick.
Hey, according to the doctor, he's big enough. So
there you
we'll
go.
See. But we at Easter, he got a little overwhelmed with church, and he ran to me and didn't want to go to my dad, wanted to stay with me. So that was one person that I pew sniped off the
he got him out.
List.
Golden gunned him.
I got a text yesterday. Kelsey he got dropped off, and Kelsey was he was here, and he was asking, he heard me on the phone and was asking for me. And then I was asking, where's daddy at? And then asking for me to come home. And
I don't know. I think
Kelsey,
I heard Uncle
said,
Jerry on the, when he was on the phone. I thought
he definitely didn't say that. He definitely didn't say that. He doesn't like you. He likes Macy. He likes
Jerry.
Avery. He likes Peyton.
He definitely likes Peyton.
I mean, as a family, we don't like you. It's just it's your family we like.
I think I heard Uncle Jerry for sure on the phone.
But I'm making some small headway. So we Kelsey's next. If I overtake her, I'll feel good. I'll call it out on the podcast. It's coming though. It's going to drive her crazy,
hey,
but it's coming.
You got to earn Bryce, because newborns are hard as a dad to earn, because you just if you ain't feeding them like that, it's hard
true.
To win them. So you got to.
I did get my first KJ smile today, though, so I forgot to mention it. That was fun.
That was. Well, Brandon, baby gear, do you have a piece of baby gear to go
with?
Oh,
my
week?
God, do I. Let's Not only it. Do I have a piece of baby gear, I got a baby gear gripe to start.
Ooh,
before I even get to my piece
gear
of baby
gripe.
Gear.
I like
baby
that.
Gear gripe. So we to start our podcast journey, a huge part of starting was you and I doing the real, sometimes fake beef of Upa Baby versus Nuna.
Mm-hmm.
And the Upa Baby Vista that we have, and the Upa Baby system versus your Nuna Pippa. And which one was better, yada, yada, yada. And part of the reason that we went with the Vista was because of its acclaim with being able to act as go from a single stroller to a double stroller. And boy, did I, all the research I did, I feel like I dropped the ball. Because.
Uh-oh. Team Nuna.
This thing, the thought, and then you go on a Reddit thread. It's funny how you find the stuff when you get annoyed.
Yeah, after the fact.
After the fact that you didn't see anything of, and I watched so many reviews, read so many articles about this thing, and the claim to fame for it was that it went from a single to a double, and how easy it was, and that it. And
so does mine.
You had the system,
and it works.
You had the system that and the mess of things in the back of my head. I remember you making a switch last minute to Nuna because of I thought it was the weight limit at the time, of the different seats. But so we're going to see if what I say rings a bell with you, because I don't remember reading this. But so for some reason with this design, A, you have to buy a rumble seat, not the toddler seat, which is $250.
That was a big reason why I didn't do that. That was a big reason I didn't do that, because I remember that.
In the back of my head, I thought the toddler seat would work. I thought the toddler seat was the rumble seat. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking wrong. So don't make the same mistake I did if you're early on in the process. So that was mistake number one. The other part is you can actually make what you have work, but you have to buy lower adapters.
Adapters,
to basically, which is not anywhere near $250. And it will work with what you need or what you already have. But for some dumb reason, in their infinite brilliance, the baby in the bassinet goes at the bottom facing outside. And the toddler, who can probably take a fall if they, if you really want to push them out the stroke. I don't know. Like, if something's going to happen to one of these kids versus the other, or if one kid needs parental attention versus the other, it's the newborn baby in the bassinet. But in their infinite wisdom, the baby is the one closest to the freaking ground and not able to really look at mom because there's a seat over top of them. And the toddler, even if so, if this is going to be the design that you have, at least let the toddler look out, because they're two or three at the time. The toddler is looking at mom. It's stupid. I feel like I'm gonna calm back down. I'm gonna calm back down. But I definitely would have went in a different direction. We are actively shopping wagons. I don't feel like paying for it because Uncle Sam's about to get a significant chunk of change in the next couple weeks or couple days. Hey, excuse me.
We love our Nuna and we love our wagon. Maisie just used that wagon at the zoo, and I honestly, that wagon is fantastic. But the Nuna, we've used it with both of them and have not had an issue.
Where's Avery at when you
on top?
See
on top.
Did y'all have to put an additional seat?
No, there's a, if you want to put the car seat in.
I'm Team Nuna. I'm Team Nuna now.
And Team Nuna. I mean, honestly, if you want to try it out, let us know.
Oh, I ain't buying another one. We ain't having them. We might not be having no more kids anyway. So the little boy just go. He go. Bryce gonna be running by the time.
But wagon. I'll be honest with you. We use the wagon now that we got that wagon. Probably 75% of the time. If we go on walks, it's the wagon. If we go like to the zoo, wagon. Anyway, basically, if we're not going like in a mall or like somewhere like super inside, it's the wagon. And the kids like the wagon. It's just, it's better. I like the wagon.
Yeah, well, that's luckily, quietly, that was a gift from the registry. So my anger is lessening the more I think about that. So shout out to the in-laws. I do like it. It's a great single stroller. It is. I had no beef until.
Well, and once Cade gets older, it'll probably matter less. It's just right now. But you need a wagon. You need a wagon anyways. You need a wagon.
Yeah. You need a wagon. You do. But you've been, so that's my rant. You don't need one. I mean, I only have one kid. I don't need a wagon for one kid.
We don't need 95% of stuff we don't need, but you need a wagon.
That's true. My actual piece of baby gear is the LeapFrog 2-in-1 Touch. It's basically a laptop or a tablet. But it's educational. You have letters, numbers, different languages. My aunt, who is she owns a daycare. She has a bunch of these for her kids and loved it. And she actually bought one for Bryce. I honestly didn't think, I thought it was cool when she bought it, but he's taken to that. Unlike most other toys, he plays with it in the morning and he'll play with it by himself and be quiet. And it's one of his favorite things to play with before he goes to bed. And it's black and white, like the little pixelated characters. It technically is screen time, but it ain't really. And when you look at what we have in today's day and age, is very low tech, and it's a learning tool. So, I saw them on Amazon before I hopped on here for $17.99. I think that's $18 well spent. So the LeapFrog 2-in-1 Touch laptop / tablet, we have it in the green version. They have pink versions if that's what you want. But that has been a definite win for the Banks family.
Nice. My piece of baby gear, Brandon, is something that I got Peyton for Easter and are one of 7,000 things. Technically, I got it for Peyton and Avery, although Avery can't really use it at this point in time, but one day she definitely will be using it. But it's the Melissa and Doug bowling set. And basically, it's 6 bowling pins that are like different colors and shaped like animals. And then it comes with a little like bowling ball. And it's kind of a really nice set. It comes with a bag you can put them in. They stand up and, you know, you bowl with it. But Peyton, one, loved it. She thought it was great. And it's a toy that now, you know, even after Easter, I wouldn't say it's like a go-to toy for her, but it's something that if you bring out, she definitely wants to play. She doesn't quite get the idea of bowling. She thinks you chuck the bowling ball at it, not roll it. But we're working on that. But it's also cool because you have different colors that you can work on their colors. You can work on animals because they're different animals. So you can kind of do some learning along with the bowling. But it's something fun to do. If you can do it outside, you can do it inside. It's like they're sturdy enough and not like hard enough where they're going to hurt the floor. But you can do it outside. You can do it inside, carpet, hardwood floor. So it's kind of something fun to do that doesn't take up a ton of space. Like I said, it comes with a nice bag. You can throw them in afterwards. And it's so far so good. It's been kind of fun. So hopefully Avery does more than just chew on them in the future. And Peyton does more than just chuck a ball at them. We can actually teach some skills. But right now, it's been pretty fun. So that is my piece of baby gear. Again, the Melissa and Doug bowling set. You can find it on Amazon. I think it's about $28 to $30, depending on if there's a coupon or whatever like they have.
Oh, did I come in less than you this week? That's a
you
that's
did.
Unusual.
That, their stuff's kind of expensive, I'll be honest with you, Melissa and Doug, but it all seems to be
well,
good
anytime
quality.
You get multiple names, they normally
yeah. Well, I think more. Doug's more expensive than
like
Melissa,
Johnson
but, you
and
know.
Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson, yeah, exactly. anyways, Brandon, let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is relevant to probably every parent out there, but definitely the kids that are aged around, I would say, 2+, maybe even 1.5+. Yeah, 1.5+, I think is probably more accurate, actually. But that's cleaning up. Like, so obviously kids make a mess. Everyone in the world knows kids make a mess. If your kid doesn't make a mess, God bless you. But what happens once the mess is made? Well, mom and dad typically end up cleaning up the mess every single day, 500 times a day. So the best way to combat that is to eventually help have your kids clean up after themselves. But when should you start that and how do you do that? Those are some questions that we had, we kind of researched and we're going to go into. But kind of, I already touched on one of those things, Brandon, because I kind of made a mistake and said 2+. But what I read says right around 16 to 18 months is really when you can start trying to introduce having your kid help clean up after themselves. So 16 to 18 months, right around 1.5, you know, your kid probably has enough skills and comprehension where they can understand what you're telling them at least. Did you read anything different when it comes to age, Brandon?
Nope, that's exactly it. And that's when we actually started kind of pseudo trying to get it done. So I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so, I guess I'll get this off first is Peyton. We probably started right around the same time too. She definitely understands what I'm saying when I'm saying to clean something up. We even know the cleanup song, but Peyton, she will help you when she wants to help you, and she will not help you or ignore you when she wants to ignore you, because that is my daughter. But that is something we are working on, and sometimes it's funny with her. Sometimes, you get mad because you think she's ignoring you. Sometimes I get nervous that she's got some kind of, like, attention issues like I had, because I had those as a kid, and she's like squirrel with everything. She's distracted by everything, which I know toddlers do, but she gets super distracted super easily. And then sometimes, I just don't think she wants to. But it's something we're continually to work on, and like I said, once she wants to help out, she will help out. And if I really push it, she typically will at least pick up one or two things, but she definitely gets defiant at times and will flat out just say no or ignore you. So we are no means experts in this yet. But hopefully after researching some things, we can get a little bit better at it. Where are you guys at in your cleanup journey, if you will?
So it's funny that we kind of, what happened today basically is what's funny to me. So you and I talked about this topic probably a week and a half ago. And Bryce has been, honestly, since KJ's been born, and this may be a us thing, but we've been way more intentional. Maybe a month or so before KJ was born. We started being very intentional about asking him to do things and him helping out. And Kelsey's been even better than me for longer than me at that. But I made a conscious effort as well because I knew there were going to be times we actually needed him to, like, get out of the way and go help. Like, even if it's fake help, help us do something so he stays out of the way when something's happening with the baby. But he's been great at cleanup for probably a month now or a month and a half. And that's kind of what sparked this topic is because you were mentioning, we were talking about this, and I was saying Bryce has been really good, surprisingly. And then today, the day we were recording this podcast, we were just upstairs doing our normal cleanup. Like, him and I are the ones who clean up at night, and then we go upstairs. I get him ready for bed, put him down. And he was not listening to anything I was saying. He wanted to do exactly what he wanted to do, and I thought it was hilarious Now, I was annoyed in real time. But, it's but I'm like, of all day, this dude's been great for, like, I have not had any hiccups with this in like a month. And today, of all days, he decided. So the regression can definitely come. You got to be patient as a parent. But what I think, we'll go over a few different, like, tips. But I think the number one thing for us, I'd say two things. A, from the 16-month range, so year and a half, 16, 18 months, anytime I was cleaning up and I he was around, I was singing the cleanup song. So everybody knows the cleanup song. Clean up, everybody, everywhere. So, I mean, that's just that I was consciously doing that and just singing it because, A, I wanted him to help. He was doing the same thing you said Payne was doing. Like he wasn't paying attention, but I just made it a habit of singing that song every time. He hears the song when he's watching shows. It's something that's repetitive. So he knows the song. And then what changed recently, instead of saying, "Hey Bryce, let's like, we're cleaning up," and him, I'm assuming that he's going to help me because he's watching me and he's seen me clean up 50 times and he knows what it means. What we started doing a few months ago is to give him specific tasks. He knows he has a bin or a collection of bins, actually, where it's like 8 different slots where all the toys go in a specific spot, or at least they should in theory. And we'll tell, hey, Bryce, can you put all your books up for me? Can you put all your balls up for me? Can you put Riley's toy? Riley's our dog. Can you put Riley's toys in Riley's bin? And when you simplify it, he knows what all these things are and where they're supposed to go. But when you give him a specific task, that's when, like, it's not been a problem. I tell him to put his book. Now, what may happen, and so I'm showing him a little grace, he'll put the books up. He might put 4 up really quick and then come across one that catches his eye and sit down and start reading it. And then you kind of get him back on track, because I've been in my mind, he needs to be better at following directions. He probably always is going to need to be better at following directions. But I know he got preschool and stuff like that coming up. So what I may have let him get away with 3-4 months ago is it's more stern now. I'm still being a patient dad, but hey, now's not the time to read the book. Let's put this one up and finish up. Pick one out. We can read it upstairs when we go down for night-night. So little things like that, I feel like, other than today, have been working from a process for us.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's when I was doing some research for this topic. That's one of the things that comes up the most, is giving your child specific directions on what you want them to do, specific and focused. Even Harvard Health said so when I read an article from them. But yeah, you want specific, like you said, in you want them to know exactly what you want done, and you want to make sure that they understand. So it can't be something vague. It's got to be something, like you said, please pick up those blocks, put them in this bucket. And, you know, if they do that and they know exactly what they're supposed to do, you show them, that can help. And then also, and you kind of touched on this, but you want to make sure you give them time to follow that instructions. Because, like, in my head, if there's 20 blocks, it might take me 15 seconds to pick them up. It might take your kid 15 minutes. But if they're doing it and getting around to it, that's okay. Don't get mad at them, as long as they're doing the task. And along with that kind of goes, you want to make sure that you stay calm and not get mad at them, especially if they are attempting to help. So staying calm through the process is something that I know sometimes, and you're probably the same way, Brandon, you can get agitated if you're like, grab the block, put it in the bucket, stop chewing on it or playing with it or throwing it. So,
especially, you know, when you know they know what you're saying, or they just, like, they playing around or playing around with you.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, staying calm. And then when they do finally complete it, you know, I think the completion of the process is you praise them for it. Good job. Way to go. Clap. Whatever it is. So those are,
you're an amazing block picker upper.
Correct. Good job. You've just won another block to put in the bag. So, yeah, no, it's something that, you know, you want to praise when they do it right, and you want to make sure that you don't give them too much or confuse them. So what other tactics did you read about, Brandon?
So, I mean, you hit on a couple of them. Make it fun. I mean, this should be an extension of playtime. You don't want this to be a punishment. So I would, and it's hard because sometimes they, I mean, these kids make us emotional both positively and negatively, but they might have just made you real mad before they go to bed. And you're like, come on, we're cleaning up all your stuff and we're going upstairs. That, especially in these early formative times, you don't want it to be a punishment. So use silly voices. We do it anyway. Make up songs. Infuse everything with kind of that sense of playfulness. Jerry mentioned the positive praise. And the other thing that it's important from my end is being consistent and being consistent with the time and routine. So Bryce is absolutely, he knows that in both downstairs in his room, before we basically are going upstairs to get ready for bed and before we're putting him in the crib, we're picking up what we were playing with and putting it where it's supposed to go. You start doing that, then in theory, that becomes a part of their everyday task. What's funny, super funny, is that I'm not naturally a picker-upper or a clean person. So if you ask my wife, I should probably have these same tactics, or maybe she uses exactly on me for my closet and my hamper.
She starts singing the right cleanup now song. She starts singing the cleanup song to you at night.
Give me positive praise when I do my laundry or pick up the closet. The irony hit me as I was talking about this. This is in real time.
That's funny. One thing I read, Brandon, that I actually thought was just, it just makes sense, but it's funny because I don't think I thought of it like while I'm dealing with my kids throughout the day, but it's something that I'm going to try to work on, is if you're asking them to clean up, don't interrupt them. Wait for a natural pause. So if they're in the middle of playing something and then you're like, stop, now clean up, like that can mess with them. And it's also kind of like a negative connotation. So if there's a natural pause or kind of a lull in what they're doing, or they're about to switch what they're doing, then start the cleanup process. And I think that that's pretty smart. I haven't tried that yet, but that's something that I'm going to try to start doing. And I've read that a few different places that says, I think they call it a natural pause to start doing it. So that is another one I want to definitely hit on. And then kind of a last one that I'll mention, Brandon, before, if you have any other points, is you want to make sure that you kind of touched on this, but you want to have places for everything that makes sense for your kid. So if they're cleaning up books, the books go in the same place every day, right? If they're cleaning up the blocks go in the same place. Because if you throw stuff just everywhere, then they don't know what's clean and what's not clean, or what goes in there or what doesn't go in there. So if you have places for everything, and this is kind of a Montessori method too, and if you have like kind of a natural space for stuff, it can help kids know where stuff goes and want to help put it away almost naturally.
Yeah, for sure. And my last couple, so you mentioned getting a little pushback or potentially being told no. Offer choices. So do you want to clean up the blocks or do you want to clean up the cars first? That'll give them kind of a sense of control and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. If they are still throwing a fit and they don't want to do it, this is hard sometimes as parents, and I'm guilty of this. But ignore it for a little bit and come back to it if you have time to do it. Sometimes you don't. But if they're just straight up refusing, then what that's going to do, if you're anything like me, what it turns into is I'm bigger than you almost, like you, I'm your dad, you need to do what I tell you to do kind of mentality, which it only can lead to frustration. So be the bigger person. You literally are. Walk away. Come back to it later. And I think a lot of that part of it may come from what Jerry mentioned. If you're pulling them out of something that they're actively doing to do this, then you need to be conscious of that and the fact that they may be wanting to continue to do what they're doing. So one other thing that I didn't mention, and it'll be my last thing, we typically are giving Bryce like a 3 or 5 minute warning, and that'll come with, Kelsey does especially, I might tell him you got 5 minutes. Kelsey will say you have X amount of minutes, and then she'll say, hey, Siri, set a timer for 5 minutes. And my Siri is actively next to me. You hear it in the background. Setting that timer. And then he knows the noise when it goes off. That becomes more of a process, more of an expectation. And he knows what comes after that 5 minutes is up for whatever it is. So I think all of these are really good tips. This helped me and preparing, because there are things that I feel like we do well, but things that we can do better. And I definitely need to work on my patience as well.
Yeah, me too. The ones that kill me, Brandon, is you said that when they kind of say no, it's not when she's mad. It's when Peyton will do the nonchalant no. I'll be like, Peyton, do you want to help Daddy clean up? Nope. Oh, okay. You know, she'll just be like, nope. You know
what's funny about that? It, when it happens to you, and they have, because you told me about Peyton's, the variety of no that they've somehow found that I don't know where they got it from, because it's the no, it's the nope, like you said, it's the long oh no, it's the long oh nope, nope, no. Bryce hit me with a nah the other day. I don't know where he got that from. Nah. And it's annoying when it happens to you. We were sitting at the dinner table today, and Kelsey was trying to get him to do something, and he hit her with one of them funny, like, different dialect no's, and I almost lost it. It took everything I had not to bust out laughing. It was funny, but it wasn't me he was talking to, and I had to step in and say something. But yeah, they almost have their own language and work on it.
No. You know, like,
it's hilarious, dude.
Like, I can tell what mood Peyton is in by how she says no. Like, she says it like 15 different ways, and I can tell. Like, you know, you got to be nervous with her when she gives you the scared no, where it's almost like she's scared as she's saying it. She's like, no. And then it's like, oh no, she's about to have a breakdown.
You know, that's leading to something. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, oh no. Okay, calm down. She's about to lose.
Now you'll no change.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we're going to continue to work on this until they're teenagers and we're asking them to clean up their rooms, but these are good things to work on.
At that point, I'm just going to blow his chest out. We coming to fisticuff.
Exactly. But anyways, like Brandon, this will be something I'm sure that we touch on from time to time. But for everyone who, before we get into the shameless plug, if you will, do you have a dad joke, Brandon? A PG-13.
Don't worry, I was. This might be PG-13 to R. We'll see. But
let's hear.
We'll see. All right, Jerry. So we just had the eclipse that just happened. Yes. My wife said I was kind of like a total eclipse. I only come every few years and last about 2 minutes.
And that's
I'm gonna let y'all explain that to y'all kids.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yep, definitely.
All
right. Well, now, if we didn't lose you over that joke, if you haven't already, like us on all our social media pages, write a review, tell your friends about us, message us. We love hearing from all you guys. We've had an outpouring of different people reaching out to us lately, and we definitely appreciate it and like hearing from you guys. So please let us know what you think. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, all that good stuff, and leave us a review if you have not already. But until next time, I'm Jerry, as always, joined here by Brandon, and you've been listening to Dad Jokes.